Today is Mi'ila Daf Yud Ches. It's a new parak. A few days ago we discussed the three different types of Mi'ila. There's Mi'ila of Kodshei Mizbeach, which itself is broken into two parts, Kodshei Kodshim and Kodshei Kalims. So we discussed what is the nature of Mi'ila with regard to Kodshei Kodoshim and Kodshei Kalim. Kodshei Kodoshim, it's the sanctity, the essence, the fact that carbon is sacred, that itself is what is mechayev a person for deriving benefit. The sacred nature of the animal. And when we discuss Kodshei Kalim, we explain that the nature of Mi'ila is the mitzvos. After the zrika has been done, now you have an obligation to put the imurim on the mizbeach. It's not the sacred nature of the animal. It's the obligation, the mitzvah. And we use that to explain the difference why the mi'ila departs after it makes contact with the mizbeach and not when it turns into dusk. And that was from a few days ago. And we also discussed the third category of mi'ila, or you could say called the first category, depending on which the order, of bedek habayis. Something which is the property of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not meant to go on the Mizbeach, it's not an animal, but it's the property. People give donations to the Beis HaMikdash all the time. A person can give money, cash, you can give a bar of silver, you can give a piece of wood, you can give building materials, tools, property, real estate. A person lives in his estate, I want to bequeath my home to the Beis HaMikdash. What are they going to do with my home? Well, they can use it for a storage shed, or maybe they'll sell it and convert it to cash, and they'll use the money to for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's really what we're dealing with here in this section that we're going to discuss of Mi'ila with regard to Bedek HaBayis. The Gemara here tells us that the Makor, the source for Mi'ila of Bedek HaBayis, is derived from three ingredients. What are the three ingredients? Sota, Avodah Zarah, and Truma. Okay, it's a very strange combination. What in the world is a sota? What in the world does Avodah Zarah and Truma have to do with Mi'ila? But I'm going to read the words of the Gemara, and then we're going to read a little few lines of Tosfos, and then we're going to try to bring out a show a stira in the Rambam, and give a very interesting answer, which is given by the Shar HaMelech and the other Mefarshim as well, a very beautiful answer, and use that answer to bring out a nafka mina lehalacha. And then maybe if you have time to ask a question on this and give an answer. Let's see. But let's start step by step. We have here the Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Tanu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned. It says in the Pasuk, Nefesh ki simul ma'al. It says in the Torah that the person, in the beginning of the parasha of Mi'ila, of a person, Nefesh ki simul ma'al b'Hashem. He commits a transgression. Mi'ila literally means a transgression. He commits a transgression against Hashem by deriving benefit from the property of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, nefesh. What does it mean, nefesh, a person, a soul? So the Gemara says, echad hayachal v'yechad hanasi v'yechad hamashich. It doesn't make a difference who you are, whether you are a private citizen, whether you are the melech, whether you are the Kohen Gadol, it doesn't make a difference. Everyone is the same with regard to the laws of Mi'ila. Okay, we do not stand our point. Ki simol ma'al. The Gemara, what does it mean exactly, Mi'ila, to commit a transgression? So this is a famous line of the Gemara. Ein ma'al ela shinu. Mi'ila means a change. A change. Where do we find the word change, in the Torah word Mi'ila in the context of change? V'cheinu oimer. It says in the Pasuk, ish, any individual, ki sista ishtoi. If his wife turns astray, wife is not loyal to her husband, she turns away from him, umola bomal, and she commits a crime against her husband by having a relationship with another man who's not her husband. So in the context of this pasuk, it's very clear that she the word mi'ila is simul b'mal in the context of a woman, of a husband and wife. It means she has removed herself from the rishus, from the home of her husband, and she has changed her bed, her residence, to a man that's not her husband. there has been a change in her in her actions. Yeah,
a change or an exchange?
I wouldn't say it's an exchange. That's not exclusive. It's not mutually exclusive. She is with two men. She has her husband, and she has changed her. Let's see how Rashi translates the words. That's how this pasuk is being used. That she will. Tosis will refine it a bit more when we read the words of Tosis in a few moments. But she has had a extramarital relationship with someone else. That is called a change. The Omer, the Gemara is not satisfied. The Gemara says, I have another pasuk. Pasuk vayim'alu beilo kei avosehem avodazara. The Jewish people committed a crime against the God of their forefathers. They rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did they do? Vayiznu. And they strayed acharei haba'olam after the Avodah Zarah called Baal. So two different psukim which use the word Mal, and the common denominator of both of these psukim is the word Mal means that they have changed. They changed their relationship with one item, with one group, with their husband, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they have moved to have a relationship with either another man or with an idol. Okay, now the
word Mal is used there. In
yes, Vayim Al, yeah, that's the part. There was Vayim Al.
By sight, I understand, but
by Avodah Zarah, Vayim Alu Belokei Avoseya, Vayiznu Achrei Habol. Now we're not going to go through the details. The Gemara says, wait a minute, if we're going to learn the entire source from Me'ilah from Sota and from Avodah Zarah, it has to be exactly like Sota and Avodah Zarah, and the Yochol Pogam V'loi Nene, or Nene V'loi Pogam, or Uve Mechubo Lekarko Uve Shuliach Sh'ose Shlichuso. The Gemara asks four questions. Basic idea is that if we're going to be, we don't need to go through the details, but basically the question is that if we're going to compare it to Sota and to Avodah Zarah, it should be exactly like the nature of Me'ilah, should be exactly like Sota and Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, you're right, it's a problem. It says the word V'chota in the parasha of Me'ilah, and it says the word Chota in the parasha of Truma. The Gemara says, Chet b'Truma, V'nema Chet b'Me'ilah, Ma Chet Amar b'Truma Poigim V'Nene U'Misha Pogam V'Nene V'Dover Shapoigim V'Nene U'Pidimosa V'Anosa Ki'echad U'V'Tolosh V'Nakarko V'Shliach Shosh V'Chusay Av Chet Amar b'Me'ilah Poigim V'Nene U'Misha Poigim V'Nene U'V'Dover Shapoigim V'Nene U'Pidimosa V'Anosa Ki'echad. This will take 10 minutes to explain, so it's not the point we need to make now. The Gemara says there's a third ingredient which is used to limit the scope of Me'ilah. That has to be where you are poigame in the item that you derive benefit from, which means when you eat something, before you eat the apple, it's worth 50 cents. When I take a bite out of the apple, I have derived pleasure, right? It's pleasure. But in the process of taking the bite out of the apple will no longer be sold in the fruit store for 50 cents. Who's going to buy an apple that someone took a bite out of for 50 cents? Maybe they'll sell it for a tenth, for 2 cents, for 3 cents, maybe not even that. So there's something called the pigima. Your benefit causes the object to go down in value.
Where was the pasuk in Truma? Did you say?
Chet. Just, you know, we don't need to come on to details. It says in the Truma, what is the chet of Truma? There's where a person, a zor, if a Yisroel eats Truma, he has sinned. The word meal is not used. The word chait is used in the parasha of Me'ilah, and the word chait is used in the parasha of Truma. So we link Me'ilah to Truma. Truma, what have you done when you're going by Truma? Let's just focus on one example. When Truma, you eat Truma, by eating you derive pleasure. At the same moment in time, you've caused the Truma to go down in the item that you've eaten is worth less than it was originally. If originally it was worth a dollar, if I take a bite out of it, it's worth less than a dollar. That's the nature of eating food. Food, you have pleasure, and in the process of having pleasure, the value of the original item of food is worth less than it was originally. Correct? That is the rule of That's what we learned from Truma. Because if not for this, we would think that it has to be like Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, a person does not, this is the way Rashi explains, does not derive benefit. When a person worships Avodah Zarah, there is no physical benefit. When it comes to Sota, when a woman has relations with another man, she's not worth anything less. She had pleasure. She had physical pleasure, but her value, if she would be sold as a slave on the market, has not changed because she had relations with another man. It's the same exact thing. Even though just to the husband, but there's no physical, her value has not changed one penny because of what she has done. So basically what Gemara is saying is we're going to learn everything from the laws of just one of many different halachas. If we're going to know the laws of Me'ilah, from the laws of Sota, and from the laws of Truma, the result would be that if you have, you don't need to have both pleasure and cause the object to go down in value. It would be enough to have one without the other. Therefore, we need to come on to Truma, because the sin of Truma is where a Yisrael eats an item that is Truma, and by eating the Yisrael has pleasure, and in the process of having pleasure, he's causing the food item to go down in value. The two cannot be separated. That's why we need to come on to Truma. Okay, so basically what we need for right now, this moment in time, is just to be aware that there are three ingredients which teach us the law of Me'ilah with regard to Bedek HaBayis. Property that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash is off limits. If a person derives benefit, he is chayif to pay the value of benefit that he derived, plus from your carbon asham and an additional fifth. How do we know this? The details for right now are not important, is we know from, it says, Kisim ol mal. It says the word Me'ilah by Avodah Zarah. It says the word Me'ilah by Sota. And we have to limit the scope of what we would derive from a Sota and Avodah Zarah by also connecting it to Truma. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos says, why do we need two psukim? Why do we really need to come out of the pasuk of Avodah Zarah and Sota? Why wouldn't Avodah Zarah be enough? So Tosfos says, the Yesh Loimar, the Itzrich Misota, Taisa says, why do we really need the Pasuk of Sota? Let's just one Pasuk, Avodah Zarah. It says with Mi'ilah, the Yesh Loimar, the Itzrich Misota, Liashmina, and the Afilu below Shinui Rishus. Kigon Gizbar Shal Hegdish, Afalpi, Afilu Achi, Nene Moa, the Afilu below Poga. So the chiddush is, what is the nature of a sota? When a woman commits the crime, has she left the reshus of her husband? It's a temporary sin. I mean, it's not temporary, it's a sin. She's a married woman. She committed a sin. Okay, she had pleasure. She had hana. Did her status change? Is she no longer an Eishes Ish? Is she divorced? Is she a free woman? Has she left the Rishus, the ownership, so to speak? It's not really an ownership, but has she left the marriage from her husband? No! The only way a woman leaves a marriage is either divorce or death. That's it. Just because she has committed a terrible crime of Arayos, nothing has changed. So she had pleasure. So if we need Sota to teach us a very important halacha, where a person derives pleasure from the Beis HaMikdash, and the item which he had pleasure has not left the Beis HaMikdash, for example, the custodian, person in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, on the premises of the Beis HaMikdash, he takes an apple that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, he eats it. Nothing else. It's not Sheol, I shouldn't have done an example because that disappears. But let's say he derives pleasure from something. He lies down on the bed. Okay, he lies down on the bed of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a bed, someone donated a bed. And he lies down on the bed and he derives pleasure. Has the bed left the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash? No. The object remains in the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash. He has derived pleasure. He is Chayiv for Me'ilah. Because that's what we learn from Sota. The case of Avodah Zarah, let's go further. Let's just go further. We'll become clear in a moment. Now he has the question that if you look, Because by Avodah Zarah, this is the Hatayas explains the Gemara, and it's very important what we're coming to in a moment. By Avodah Zarah, when you worship an idol, you're leaving the Rishus of Hashem. This itself is a fascinating concept. We had in Yeshaya that the Masecha, the cover, the bed is not large enough for both of us. Hashem says the bed cannot fit the Avodah Zarah and the Shechina. The cover cannot cover both myself and the Avodah Zarah. It's one or the other. When a person worships an idol, he is leaving, that's what Tosfos says, these are not my words, he is leaving the Rishus of Hashem, he has gone elsewhere. Is it called a benefit? No. Fascinating idea. This itself is a hashkafic inyan. I bow down to an idol. Chazal tells us before the Anshei Knesset Agdola, Uvadal, Yei, Tzafah, Dazor, you would think there is some benefit. The Gemara seems to be saying no. Rabbi Taizah says no, that's not called a benefit. Bowing down to an idol, you may in your mind have some pleasure. That is not called a physical benefit. When a woman has relations with a man that's not her husband, that's called a physical benefit. So each of these two are mutually exclusive. That's why we need both. This is in a nutshell. They're mutually exclusive. When a woman has relations with a man that's not her husband, she has derived physical benefit, but has gone nowhere. She remains under the jurisdiction, the ownership, the marriage of her husband. When a person worships an idol, he has gone somewhere. He's left the fold. He's out. He's outside of the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's somewhere else. But he has not derived any benefit. Each of these are mutually exclusive, and that is why we need both. Sometimes when a person derives benefit from an object that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, he has pleasure from the object. He actually derives the physical benefit. But the object from which he has derived benefit has not left the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes a person has pleasure by removing an object from the Beis HaMikdash, but has not derived benefit. For example, a person has an object, he's the custodian, and he tells his friend, "You know, I'm going to give you a gift. See the bar of silver? There's no one watching. Take it. Take the bar of silver. You could have it. You could have it." Did I derive benefit? I didn't derive any benefit. I got nothing from this. No one paid me for it. I gave it away. But by giving it away, the bar of silver has left the rishus, the jurisdiction, the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, and has gone elsewhere. Am I chayav from the Ilah? If I would only learn from Sota, the answer would be no. Because from Sota we learn you have to derive benefit. Here there was no benefit. I got nothing out of this. I'm the custodian. Take the bar of silver for yourself. I got nothing out of this. But the object has left the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm Chayiv Me'ilah. Why am I Chayiv Me'ilah? Because we learned from Avodah Zarah. By Avodah Zarah it says the word Ki Simalu Be'elokei Avoseihem. They have transgressed against the God of their forefathers. The nature of Avodah Zarah is to leave the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at no benefit whatsoever. Okay, so then I want to review these 2 points. We have here in the Gemara the two ingredients. The two major ingredients before we get to Truma are Avodah Zarah and Sota. Tosfos makes it very clear the reason why we need both is because when a person derives benefit from an object that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, there are two ways a person can be chayav from Ilah. Either he can derive benefit and the object has not gone anywhere, or a person can cause the object to leave the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash without any benefit. The second case, leaving the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash without any benefit, is derived from Avodah Zarah. But deriving benefit without it going anywhere is derived from Sota. And it goes without saying that if you combine the two together, right, if you combine, let's say a person eats food from the Beis HaMikdash, you have done both. Because when you eat the food, you have derived benefit, and it also has left the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash, correct? You have an apple and you consume the apple. Until now it was the property of the Beis HaMikdash and it's gone. It's disappeared. It's no longer, doesn't exist. Since something doesn't exist, that's the ultimate form of leaving the Rishus, no longer part of the Beis Hamikdash. So it goes without saying, when you derive benefit, and the process of deriving benefit, you have pleasure, and you cause something to leave the Rishus, the Beis Hamikdash, that is a combination of both Sota and Avodah Zarah. But the Chiddush is, even when you have one without the other, you leave the Rishus, the Beis Hamikdash, or you have benefit without the Rishus, the Beis Hamikdash, there's going to be a prohibition of Me'ilah. Okay, that's basically Tosfos and the Gemara in a nutshell. Now, quick question, running out of time, yeah.
Quick question. If the thing leaves the Rishus, yeah, physical location,
yes,
but it's still in existence in the world someplace else,
yes,
has it technically left the Rishus to the Beis Hamikdash?
100%! 100%! My case, there's a bar of silver lining on the table that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, and I tell you, take it, it's yours. You take it, you go home, you take it. Once it has left the Rishus, it's no longer sacred. It loses its sanctity. The sanctity has departed. I have committed a transgression of Me'ilah by telling you to take it. I, the Gizbar, by giving it to you to take home, have committed a terrible transgression. I have to pay its value, plus an additional fifth, plus bring a carbon asha.
So if the second guy who stole it,
yeah,
gives it to a third guy,
yeah,
he's giving private property at that
point. Yes, he's giving private property, absolutely.
And the third guy can keep it.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one that's responsible to pay its value is the one that is responsible for leaving the Beis HaMikdash, which is me, the custodian. The custodian who has released or have removed it from the Beis HaMikdash is the one that is obligates chayiv for Me'ilah. Yes.
So Me'ilah, in essence, takes off the name of Kedusha, off the
Ayah. Yes, it does. Wow. Yes, it does. Okay. Correct. So these, now here is the problem. There's a Rambam. There is a contradiction in the Rambam. That's always the most interesting types of Rambams. Clear contradiction. Well, not 100% clear. The Rambam in one place says as follows. If, let's say, a person dies, and he leaves over to the Beis HaMikdash a house, a bayis. The custodian is in charge of the house, and he says, oh, it's a house. I have a friend. He's homeless. He lost his job. You know what? Well, I shouldn't say home. I take that back. I think, you know, he has money. He does not. He's homeless. But he has a parnas. Okay, so he needs a house. So the custodian rents. He rents either or sells. It really doesn't make a difference. He rents or sells the home to a third person. Reuven comes and says, I need a house. This house is the property of the Beis HaMikdash. And he's, oh, you need it? Okay, you know what? Take it. You could have it. You'll give me the money. The money will go in my pocket. The money is not going to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the money is not going to the Beis. The money was going to the Beis HaMikdash, so maybe then we can work it out. That's not going to me, because that's what the Beis HaMikdash is getting benefit. The money will go to me, and you can go and live in the house. You live in the house. So the house is leaving the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's going into the Rishus of a private citizen, and he's having benefit. The Rambam says the custodian who has authorized, who has brought about this transaction, who has caused this house to be used by another person, is chayif and ilah. It's no different than the case I've given you, where there's a bar of silver on the table, and I tell you, take the bar of silver, derive benefit. It's yours to keep. It's yours. Keep it. And you take it, you derive, and you take it home. I have caused the bias to leave the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm really doing the same exact thing. This house belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm giving it to you. Take it. I am chayif for Me'ilah. Fine. Okay. Simple. Another Ram. The Ram says, let's say there's a house that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and I, the custodian, or any person that matter, moves in, doesn't pay rent, derives benefit from a bias. I'm potter. I'm exempt from Me'ilah. But why do I benefit? So that's really the Gemara. I left out. I just ran over that part of the Gemara. There's no din Me'ilah by Mechubah L'Karka. Me'ilah is only by an object. So that's what, and that's something which is detached from the ground, and that's why the Gemara introduced the third ingredient. The third ingredient of Me'ilah was Truma, because the Gemara said, if we're going to learn that from Avodah Zarah and from Sota, the scope is too great. It would include even things which are attached to the ground. For example, what is attached to the ground of Avodah Zarah? If a person worships an Asherah, a tree that is attached to the ground, the tree becomes Avodah Zarah. How do we know to limit the scope of Me'ilah to things which are only mitaltlim, things which are detached from the ground? That's why we need to come on to Truma, because by definition, Truma can only be something which is detached from the ground. So we have a very big problem. the Rambam not only does he contradict himself, he appears to contradict the Gemara. The Gemara, because the Gemara clearly says that the only time Yichayef a meal is only things which are mechubar, not mechubar lekarka. The Rambam, number one, the Rambam says that if it's mechubar lekarka, on one hand he says if you derive benefit from a piece of property, you're exempt because it's mechubar lekarka. But on the other hand, the Rambam says that if the gizbar he rents a property, land, a house, which is mechubar lekarka, to a outsider, to a third party, the gizbar is chayiv. So besides, the Rambam contradicts himself with regard to the laws of objects which are mechubar lekarka. The Rambam is also contradicting in the Beferish Gemara that says that the laws of Mila do not apply to mechubar lekarka. How do we deal with this? So there's an answer that's given by a lot of the Mefarshim, Shar HaMelech, Minchas Chinuch. It's a very popular answer and generates a lot of discussion. The answer is, we have to come back to Tosfos. Tosfos made it very clear that there are two types of Me'ilah. There is Me'ilah that is derived from Avodah Zarah, and there is Me'ilah that is derived from Sota. When the Gemara quotes two Pesukim, it's not just telling two Pesukim, oh, there's one Pasuk, there's another Pasuk. Each one of the two Pesukim is teaching us something that is very specific. The Pasuk of Sota is teaching us Me'ilah where a person derives physical benefit. But Sota is lacking the characteristic of leaving the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash. Avodah Zarah is just the opposite. You're leaving the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're leaving the Beis HaMikdash, but you're not gaining anything. Avodah Zarah is empty. It's nothing. There's nothing there. It's just a charade, facade. There's no koach. When the Gemara comes along and adds the third ingredient of Truma, the third, which teaches us one of the halachos that Truma is only where it's mechubar, only where it's not mechubar lekarka, what is Truma? What kind of benefit does one have when one eats Truma? It is pleasure. It is deriving pleasure. The din of Truma is only focusing on, is only coming to limit the form of Me'ilah of Sota, not limit the form of Avodah Zarah, the form of Me'ilah of Sota, not to limit on Me'ilah from Avodah Zarah. Therefore, what do we learn from Truma? We learn from Truma that is no din Me'ilah. There is no din Me'ilah by Truma by Mechubar lekarka. But what is Truma? Eating. What is eating? When a Zar eats, when a Yisrael eats Truma, he's deriving benefit. That fits in line with Sota. Sota is where she derived benefit. It is only a type of Me'ilah where you yourself derive benefit. Is there an exclusion? There's no Chiyuv where it's Mechubar lekarka. But Avodah Zarah, where you're changing Rishus, you're leaving the Beis HaMikdash at no benefit, is not what the Gemara means when the Gemara brings in Truma. So the Chiddush, what we do, try to say translation. So we have here these two sources for Me'ilah, Sota and Avodah Zarah. The Gemara then introduces Truma. At face value, Truma is being applied to both. That's the face value. Ingredient one, ingredient number two, it's now a compound. We now take Truma and we apply Truma to both. All of the limitation of Truma will be applied to this new mixture. No! From the Rambam we learn that's not the pshat. There's ingredient number one, ingredient number two. Ingredient along comes a problem. The scope is too great. We have to introduce a third ingredient, Truma. Truma can only limit something which is similar to Truma. From the two ingredients, which one is similar to Truma? Sota. Because Truma, you are deriving physical benefit. A Sota derives physical benefit. So when we apply this exclusion that if it's Mechubar lekarka, you are exempt, that only applies to a type of me'ilah where you derive physical benefit. But if the type of me'ilah is one that's compared to avodah zarah, where it's leaving the reshus of the Beis HaMikdash, there is no exclusion of mechubur l'karka. That answers the Rambam. The Rambam says that if you derive benefit from property from a bayis, someone dies. He leaves over as an estate. This house should be the part of the Beis HaMikdash. The gizbar walks in and he lives here rent free. The gizbar is deriving physical benefit from this bayis. This bayis is now similar to what? To sota. And sota has the halacha of truma. Truma only applies to something which is tolish min hakarka. If it's mechubur l'karka, there's no din me'ilah. So this that I've derived physical benefit from the bayis, it's mechubur l'karka, I'm exempt from the laws of me'ilah. But if the gizbar takes this bayis and he sells it or he gives it away as a gift to his friend, he caused the bayis to leave the reshus of the Beis HaMikdash, that type of me'ilah is derived from avodah zarah. Avodah zarah never had the limitation of truma, so we don't have the limitation of being potter from a din mechubur l'karka. So this answers the Rambam. Now let me illustrate this idea with the halacha l'maisa. Okay, this question is discussed by the David Yisharim, and he takes right out of this whole shtickle Torah. What happens if Shiloh was asked in the cemetery, and there is a tree that is growing, is rooted in someone's grave? The roots of the tree are in the grave, in someone's grave. Now the law that one is not allowed to derive, this is a separate topic, the law that one is not allowed to derive benefit from a kever, from a grave, is derived from the laws of Me'ilah. All the laws of Me'ilah apply, just like one, it's a halacha l'maisa. Same way you're not allowed to derive benefit from property that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, one is not allowed to derive benefit from a grave. A grave is also b'hana, there are many halachas. A tree, its roots are in the grave. And now they want to cut down the tree and sell and use the wood for something. They want to sell it. They want to sell the tree, the wood, for construction purposes. Are they allowed to derive benefit from the tree? So what's the issue? Well, L'chari will say, it's a Ferish Gemara, there's no din me'ila when it comes to mechubur l'karka. The tree is attached to the ground, the object which is also b'hana is the grave, and the object that's deriving benefit is attached to the ground, so it should be permitted. Not necessarily. When do we say the exemption of mechubur l'karka, that you're allowed to derive benefit if it's attached to the ground? That's only when it's a type of me'ila where you are transferring. That's where it's forbidden. But where you yourself derive benefit, then if you derive benefit yourself, then that's where we apply the exemption. Only time it's forbidden is when you transfer. So you possibly, what you can do, you can derive benefit with the wood, provided that you use the wood for the cemetery itself. If the tree is cut down and the wood will be used to protect this grave or to protect other graves, the wood is not leaving the reshus of the cemetery. If it's not leaving the reshus of the cemetery, it's mutter. Because it's a hanah, you're deriving benefit from the wood itself. And when you derive from it itself is where we do apply the principle of truma. And truma says where it's tolush, it's asur, where it's mechubur, it's mutter. But if you were to sell the wood to a contractor outside the cemetery, you're transferring reshus. When you transfer reshus, it is asur, because that's avodah zarah.
I sold the wood to the contractor, and I take the money and use it for something on the cemetery.
Doesn't matter, it's too late, because it's too late, because when the wood itself is being transferred, that is a violation of the laws of Me'ilah.
Can you take the wood and sell it to the cemetery and take it off?
No, the wood itself can be used in the cemetery. That's exactly the point. The point is there are two different types of Me'ilah. There is deriving, using the object and deriving benefit from it itself, and there is transferring it to a different reshus. When you derive benefit from the object itself, that falls under the category of sota. And sota is the only one that's limited by truma, which permits sodom mechubur l'karka. But when the benefit is shinui reshus, there's no limitation of a truma, and that means even mechubur l'karka is categorically forbidden. So this is just the basic steps. The basic steps are, we have yellow, me'ilah, benekabayis. There are three ingredients. There is sota. there is avodah zara, and then there is truma. Face value, the limitation of truma applies to everything together. Along comes Tisus. Tisus says, be very careful. Why do we have to have two different laws, sota and avodah zara? The answer is because they are mutually exclusive. Each one has a mile, the other one does not have. A sota has physical benefit without shini rishus. Avodah zara is shini rishus without benefit. And now, that's all. It's all we would know. You have the Gemara, you have Tisus, finished. Problem is the Rambam. The Rambam is a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam one place says that there's mila when it comes to mechubul karka, and the other place the Rambam says there is no mila when it comes to mechubul karka. How do we reconcile the Rambam? Well, if we put everything together, we can suggest, as the Shara Melech says, is that when the Gemara says truma, what is truma? Truma is benefit. And what is sota? Benefit. Shuma is not a match. It's not a shidduch for avodah zara. So this limitation of tolosh is only a limitation for the type of meila of sota. Memeila, that answers the Rambam. When the Rambam says there's meila mechubul karka, that's where is shinui rishus. Like he says, you give the house to someone else. But where you're deriving benefit from the house itself, then you're potter. Because that we apply the limitation of Shuma only tolosh na mechubul karka. This has practical difference, halach and lais, when you're dealing with deriving benefit from a kever. Because the rules of kever are the source for the rules of kever come from me'ila. So if you're deriving benefit from mechubul karka, if you're going to derive benefit from it itself, it's mutter. Because we have the limitation of Shuma. But if you're going to derive benefit by transferring it out somewhere, then it would be awesome, because we don't have the limitation, we don't have the exemption of truma to take away, to limit it only to mechubar and not tolosh. Okay, so we'll stop with that.
I'm doing trees in my cemetery, so my father's land.